listening to Truth Radio. Our address is Post Office Box 344, Nipomo, California. That's Post Office Box 344, N-I-P-O-M-O, Nipomo, California, 93444. Write to us.
Let me ask you, would you go to a fast food restaurant for filet mignon and lobster? Then why do you bother going to a politician for a solution to your problems based upon morality? Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. I read that in a letter to the editor, and I think it was worth passing on. And I would like to challenge your thinking to spend less time pleading with your congresspeople and more time getting people, your friends and others, to listen to Truth Radio. We need to build the audience for Truth Radio, and you can help through your emails, a brief reference to Truth Radio, through your conversations with friends, handing out little cards with Truth Radio mentioned. We appreciate all the help you can give. Thank you for listening, and bring along others with you.
At the top of this hour, I have an unusual offer for you. Topper Saucy is one of the favorite people involved in the tax honesty movement. Topper has moved away from these thoughts in recent years, and his recent writings are just beyond marvelous. If you have not read the book put out by HarperCollins entitled Rulers of Evil, you need to go to the library and ask them to put it into the library stacks, or you need to buy that book. HarperCollins published it, and Topper Saucy, that's last name is spelled S-A-U-S-S-Y. Topper is the guy who wrote the musical ditties that formerly promoted Florida orange juice. Remember those? Well, you're too young. That's right. Some books have been written, both by and about Topper Saucy, that we have copies of. And some of these are very limited, and others we have bushels and gobs of. The Miracle on Main Street is a classic. If you would like to express to a young person the basics of economics as economics should be understood, The Miracle on Main Street by F. Topper Saucy is your book. And somehow, some way, years ago, I came into possession of a few copies of this, and these are premium books. This is the updated sixth edition, and I can't tell you the value I place. The one I have in my hand, it says it's property of KDNO and released only upon presentation of a deposit of $100 to be returned no later than 2 weeks after Lent, after it's loaned out. I think that might be a good idea. Maybe if you'd like to own a copy, you might want to give something more than $100, but if you want to put a $100 deposit down, I'll send you this book, and I'll send you a couple of bonuses. Pat Shannon is a close personal friend of Topper Saucy, and he has written a book, I Rode with Topper. I have lots of these. I'll be glad to give you copies if you just write in for this offer. And in addition, Pat Shannon has written the book, One in a Million. Now, if you are a regular listener to Truth Radio, you already have a copy of One in a Million, but I'm sure there are many people listening to me right now who don't know what I'm talking about. One in a Million is an unusual novel written by Pat Shannon. That's S-H-A-N-N-A-N. Oh, Patrick is a magnificent guy who has been through the bruises himself in terms of his experience with the Internal Revenue Service. And he's written a novel that you will love to read. People have told me they can't put it down once they start reading it. And that will be your experience as well. And I have so many copies of this. I am confident that I can send you one if you simply ask for it. We have one basic expense connected with this, and that's $3.85 for priority postage. Now, if you'd like the Saucy offer, S-A-U-S-S-Y offer, you can send us more than $100, and I'll send you one of these books, The Miracle on Main Street, to keep. Or you can say, I want to borrow the miracle on Main Street, and when I return it, I expect my $100 back. That's fine. No problem. Either way, you'll get two free books involving Tupper Saucy. One, I Rode with Tupper, written by Pat Shannon, and the other, written by Pat Shannon, that is an outgrowth of his experiences with Tupper Saucy, called One in a Million. Now, I Rode with Tupper is a true story, but the other book, One in a Million, is a novel. And you'll get both of them free if you take advantage of this offer. Do you understand what I just said? You can borrow The Miracle on Main Street if you put up a deposit of $100. If you contribute considerably more than $100, I'll send you a copy that you can keep. I only have, five of these, however, so beware. Get your offer in soon. Our address is P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California. The zip code is 93444. Looking forward to hearing from you immediately. P.O. Box 344, zip code 93444. Thanks for listening.
We're going to rise up with the sun in the morning. We're going to start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of our Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're going to do the work our Lord puts before us. And there's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their thumb.
Welcome to another edition of the Floyd Report. It is the 4th of August, year 2005, and I'm still in the process of updating the website with new news articles for this afternoon, and they won't be up until probably the half-hour mark, but joining me on the air this afternoon is Stu Webb and a man also by the name of Mr. I forget what your name is, sir.
Anthony LaVey.
Anthony LaVey.
Jesse Anthony LaVey.
Anthony LaVey. All right. I'm not really in many cases going to do much during this whole time, other than just whatever it is in particular you want to discuss, whatever it is you want to talk about. It's entirely up to you. And you can start off in any way, shape, or form that you want.
Okay, well, Jeremy, I want to thank you first. This is Stu, and I want to thank you for having us on this broadcast, and a special broadcast. And Tom Hennigan wasn't able to make it because of communication problems that we're having today. So we weren't able to all hook up because Tom wanted involved in the interview as well. But our guest here, Jeremy, Jess Anthony LaVey, is a Christian minister out of California. Jess, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Now, what we're going to be discussing for many people, and the reason that I ask you to do the show, Jeremy, and I appreciate the airtime you are giving to us and also Truth Radio, now, this is just kind of a one-shot deal, a one-time radio show. Anthony doesn't like to do the shows. He's doing it as a favor to me for many reasons, and one is the explanation of Satanism pertaining to the Bush family, and that is that they are not Christians, that they are Satanists themselves, and they perform satanic rituals on certain dates. Now, I came across this from U.S. intelligence sources back in the mid-90s, and because my former father-in-law, a Knights Templar, one of the Council of 13 members, on many occasions, they rotate the 100 banker Templar bankers do onto the council, with the Anwar Ben Sharia of Israel at the head, and George Herbert Walker Bush being one of the council members. Now, I had come across this information, and then later I got it confirmed through Secret Service agents who I ended up getting affidavits, and of course, I can't publicize them because of the jeopardy of their lives. I have to wait for grand jury time, of which now things have changed, other than when they were here even 6 months ago. And because of things going on against the Bush administration now with these grand juries that are going. But I will say this, that There's also Secret Service agents as well as CIA agents who confirmed once in 2001 of the location of the Kimball Castle in Sedalia, Colorado. I had hunted this place to find out the exact location. Everyone told me later why they did not tell me where it was at, for fear that the Bushes would kill me over this by exposing it and the Council of 13. Now, many people have tried to demonize me, and I believe my credibility speaks for itself, being a whistleblower for 21 years. And my website, stuweb.com, people can see secret documents every place up there. I haven't been wrong very many times. Now, I've put out since December 2001 that the Kimball Castle in Sedalia, Colorado, that the Knights Templars in June, the summer solstice and the winter solstice in December, do and perform satanic rituals, which is human sacrifice, and drink the bloods of children and do other things. Now, Anthony, you sent me an email. You contacted me because of a plant, a government plant, Doug Millar, who's on Division 5 FBI payroll, which I've known a long time, and I had him on my internet site. One of the associates, Ted Gunderson, and his FBI Division 5 crowd. Now, you contacted me because he had been hounding you and lying about you and doing different things. Now, later, of course, I contacted you back by telephone. And you told me your story, and then you sent me an affidavit, of which now is up on my internet site on stuweb.com on the breaking news page. What I'm going to do is ask you to give a background of who you are, your father, what your father was involved with, your stepmother, as far as who she later married later on, and the party, Ted Gunderson, who she married, contacted you a couple days ago, and I'd like for you just to explain, and we're giving you the open mic on this.
Okay. Well, my name is Anthony LaVey, and I'm what they call the Black Pope's son. Anton LaVey was my father, and he was the Pope, head of the Church of Satan in San Francisco, California. And he has quite a few churches all over the United States, which range from over 500 or so, and then there's organizations which are pretty much hooked to the Church of Satan, sort of like a whole family tree. If you were to draw it out, the Church of Satan is governed by the Council of 13.
Now, Anthony, you created a satanic chart and timeline, and I have that up on my webpage also on the breaking news right underneath your affidavit for those of you listening. Go ahead.
Well, there's a lot of... there's a lot of organizations, the Hellfire Club, the... Knights of Templar, and which are all on the family tree. They're all intertwined and interconnected. And the Council of 13 is just 12 men of our U.S. government and one Russian delegate. They always meet in East Berlin at the Mother, what they call the Mother Church, which is the headquarters for the Church of Satan. About once a year. They also have another meeting place over here in the United States, which is the Kimberly Castle.
They're in Sedalia, Colorado, correct?
Correct. And most of the time they do a lot of business meetings over in East Berlin, but over in the Kimberly Castle, they do a lot of rituals. And there's also another place they do meet, but mostly at the Kimberly Castle, where they have their so-called, you know, parties, are really rituals. It's been known for quite some time that the Bush family is generational Satanists. Now, and generational Satanists are right down the bloodline. It goes way back into their bloodline. From generation to generation. And I think Stu you know, has a thing on his website or a film that shows how far back it can go, right into Hitler, or helping Hitler with Bush's family. I have met all of these guys at one time. I was confronted because in front of these guys in East Berlin, I know who they are. And I remember Bush Sr.
George Bush Sr., George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yes. The reason I was confronted was I was rebellious against my father. I didn't, I was only born for the purpose of leadership to take my father's place when came time. And I wasn't learning what I was supposed to learn to the loins. And he just got frustrated, so I was confronted by the Council of 13. If I didn't trip up, they would come down even harder with me, but I decided a long time ago I was I guess the age of 10 at that time when I was confronted in front of them.
How old are you now, Anthony?
I'm 38. And they didn't like what I had to say.
Now, tell the audience what it was that you said to them at the time.
I can't remember exact words because it's been a lot of years. But I can just tell you, all in all, that I just told them I was not going to be the next leader of the Church of Satan, that I had other plans in mind, and that I had a better God that I believed in.
And the God you believe in, now you're a Christian minister, isn't that correct?
Yes.
And you're actually helping children with your ministry come out of the occult, out of these satanic occults, aren't you?
You know, Stu, there are so many in there that are caught up into it that are just some generational Satanists that are being sifted in and sometimes killed if they don't do what they're supposed to do. You know, the parents in a generational Satanist family believe that the firstborn son is the one that should carry on the traditions of Satanism in the family. And if they don't do it, they are locked up. They are tortured, and this isn't just, you know, general torture that you might see overseas in a war or something. These are very abnormal things they do to the kids.
Okay, now, speaking of that, abnormity, they did something to you at the Kimball Castle on the throne of Satan, they call it, there in Sedalia, Colorado, didn't they? Because of your rebellion and refusing. They planned on killing you, weren't they?
Well, I don't think they planned on killing me. He was trying to scare me into taking my rightful place. And he just couldn't seem to bend my will.
And as a result of that, what did they do to you? Tell the audience. I know it's difficult. We've talked about it, and I know it's...
The council was putting pressure on him. So he castrated me, but...
That was your own father. They castrated you at the Kimball Castle.
Yes.
On the altar of Satan, and George Herbert Walker Bush was there, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. They all were.
The whole Council of 13, including your father, Anton LaVey.
Well, yeah, he's the one that did it. Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. What kind of other torture do they do to people, Anthony?
Well, including putting them in ditches with feces, keeping them there, locked up in it, cutting them up, stringing them up and whipping them. I've been through just about all of that.
Hold your thoughts. We've got to take a quick break, and as soon as we get back on the other side, we'll pick it up.
Okay.
Somewhere down deep in the resources of Truth Radio, a video has been hiding, and I just discovered it recently. It's entitled The Civil War Debate. This is a public meeting with hundreds of people attending. It was held, I believe, in Georgia. There is one man stating the case for the North and another man stating the case for the South and a moderator. It's anything but boring. If you've studied our history going back to the Civil War at all, there's information in this video that you will consider to be really vital, and it's a really terrific experience to listen to it. I hope you'll order a copy as you write to P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. Your gift of any size will bring you a copy of The Civil War Debate. Write to us soon. Thanks.
This is Bishop Truman Burst, Master Herbalist for 43 years. We've offered free natural health counseling. And we are a Christian evangelical church and in Albany, Oregon. And we share the gospel of the good news and how to be healed in every part of your life, spiritually and physically. Call Truman at 1-800-345-4152, extension 0. Listen and call in to Discoveries in Health Monday through Friday, 11 to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, USA, on truthradio.com.
We're going to rise up with the sun in the morning. We're gonna start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of our Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're gonna do the work our Lord puts before us. And there's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their thumb.
We are back, and we're talking with Mr. LeVay. And Sue Webb, you were making some comments before the break. Go ahead.
Anthony?
Yes.
I might inject something here at this point for a moment, because I'm aware of other things about the Bushes. General Manuel Noriega, who was the general head of Panama, when Bush had him arrested after the invasion of Panama over drugs because he would no longer become his drug partner, started going independent. Mr. Noriega was arrested, brought to the United States, taken to Springfield, Missouri, where he was castrated by government surgeons at the orders of George Herbert Walker Bush, who a lot of people say he bronzed his private parts and hangs it above his mantle, his fireplace in Houston, Texas, as a warning to others. Because I talked with General Manuel Noriega's girlfriend that lived in the United States in secret about what they had done to him. So, you know, it fits a pattern here, Anthony, and I just wanted to inject that about the Bushes, because we're dealing with, and what we're talking about is a psychopath nutcase, George Herbert Walker Bush. But would you go ahead about the torture that they do to kids on these altars and the things that they do, the acts that they perform in these rituals and what they actually do? Graphic details?
Well, it can get very graphic. You know, they do a lot of very graphic things to these kids that torment them and mentally destroy them in their adult years.
It gives them multiple personality disorder, correct?
It can. There are some that don't have multiple personality. It just depends on the person. How strong are they? It's a lot to go through, and it's like going through a concentration camp. And, of course, they learned those methods from Hitler, you know. So these kids, a lot of times, fold, and they're destroyed for life. They have to go for counseling, life.
They molest the kids. They sodomize the children. They do these things, don't they?
Sure.
Now, they also, at that Kimball Castle, you've witnessed sacrifices, rituals, have you not?
Yes, I have.
Tell us, would you describe what goes on?
It's a little hard.
I know it's a memory jog, and I know there's something you've tried to put out of your mind, Anthony. And that we're doing it.
It's not easy because I do have a heart for the kids. It's not me, especially. It's very hard to think of a child going through that. Because I know what it feels like. And
but
I don't think describing it is going to solve anything. There are some authorities out there that are scared to do anything anytime that the authorities have been called on these things. Satanists get away with things, even in the court system that we have. And it all goes back to the government. They give them free rein to do these things to the kids. And it's very hard to prosecute a Satanist.
Okay, now, but you have witnessed them murdering children and drinking their blood.
Yes, I even witnessed it in Las Vegas, behind in an industrial park business where business is supposed to be, and they held it there because the glass is so thick you could never break it. But they had the windows not covered up, they did it exposed. A child killing another child. They oftentimes do too.
Okay, now your father, a lot of people, it's been reported that he is dead, Anton LaVey, correct?
No, he's not dead. He faked his death way back there. Of course, I didn't find out until years later, until he wrote me a letter, and then the FBI and the CIA and a few others called me.
And what did they tell you, the CIA, FBI? Were they trying to cover up the fact that he communicated with you, or what?
No, they were trying to find out where he was. I think he was supposed to be in their custody what do they call that?
In detention?
No, were they... Give the person a new name and...
Oh, protective custody?
I think he was in protective custody because they sure weren't talking very much when they did call here. They were very cold about it. Their only question was, where is he? And I think he wasn't supposed to surface, and he did anyway, and now they're ticked off. Because according to the records that I've read, and my dad does have a long record, it shows and indicates that he's done a lot of drug running. And again, it goes back to Bush and all his
things. Which Bush?
Both of them.
Bush Senior and Junior?
Yeah. They're both mixed up in this whole thing. His whole family is.
Okay, now, Anthony, you witnessed, in particular, at the Kimball Castle in your affidavit that's up on my website, you stated in here, I have met Bush Junior once when he came to a ritual at the castle, once with his father. My thoughts when I met him is still the same as today. He is very cold man for Satan, like a lethal weapon.
Well, he's sure not a Christian as he professes to be.
Now, who started that Christian stuff was, as you brought it to my attention, was a minister named Blessed. Is that correct?
Arthur Blessed?
Yes, he's the one that claims that Bush, prayed with him and got born again, correct?
Well, yeah, and I contacted him because I wanted to know if that was so, because his actions, and this is way before I knew you, were showing loud and clear. You know, I always know that people can change. I, you know, came out of a bad background, and I'm a Christian now, and I know people can change, but he hasn't changed. His actions still indicate, and he professed publicly, and I can say this publicly, that he belongs to the Skull and Bones Society still. And that's...
But this reverend was the one that really started all these rumors that helped George Bush among, I call it the Pulpa Goons, that went around professing that George Bush was a Christian. I mean, if they had the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit inside of them, they would have been able to understand that this man shows no signs of being a true born-again Christian.
Correct, because the Bible says, you know, you shouldn't still practice that kind of stuff, and you shouldn't get yourself tangled into it. If you depart from it, you really depart from all of it, and he hasn't departed from it. He still professes by his own mouth in public on television that he belongs to the Skull and Bones, which is the occult.
Which is the beginning of the occult, the selling of your soul to the devil.
Correct.
Okay. Now, I want to bring up a couple of other things. How many times did you see George Bush at the Kimball Castle doing these rituals? George Bush Jr., that is George W. Bush, the white, I call him the White House occupant, some people call him the President of the United States. How many times were you at the castle and saw him there with George Bush Sr., his father, George Herbert Walker Bush?
I've only seen him once.
Just one time at the Kimball Castle doing human sacrifices. Rituals.
Yes, because I departed from that, so I didn't stay. I most of the time ran from it. If I didn't have to go, I didn't go.
Okay, now also, what year was this that you saw Bush Jr., George W. Bush, this White House occupant there? Do you remember?
I can't remember that far back.
Okay, now, we talked about Leonard Millman, my former father-in-law, the Satanist, the Council 13 member. And you knew his son, Scott Millman.
Yes, Scott.
Okay, would you tell me a little bit about that, or tell the listeners what you're aware of, that Scott was there at the Kimball with you and different stuff, and also about the tunnel underneath Leonard's house?
Well, I hung around with Scott a little bit when I was forced to go to these functions that they have, whether it be at the house or at the castle or somewhere else.
But this was the functions at that big house Leonard Millman had at Eudora Street in Denver, number one Eudora,
yeah.
The one with the tunnel.
Yeah, I'm just saying that was, you know, I'd seen Scott not just there but other places too whenever they had a function. So,
and now Scott was Leonard Millman's only son, because he had the three daughters, and one of them, Carrie Melbourne, was the one I was married to.
Yeah.
And as you said, the sons, the firstborn son, they want to take over. They want them to follow their footsteps.
There's a few times they locked us up both together, and we kind of got to know each other, and I guess we just talked to each other more than we did with the other kids.
But that was one time they locked you in the tunnel, didn't they, underneath Leonard's house?
Yeah, for an hour.
Okay.
Until they got the rituals set up.
Is, were they doing rituals at the house with the tunnel there at the number one Eudora?
Yeah. They were doing a dedication and a baptism.
Okay, now this was in the summer solstice, June the 20th, the night of the 20th into the 21st. And then again in December the 21st into the 22nd, correct, of each year? Or do you recall the exact date?
I can't remember dates very well. You're asking me to remember something that's years and years ago when I was a kid.
Okay.
I can't be that exact. There's too much stuff happened in my life.
I understand, Anthony, and what you've been through is just bizarre, totally bizarre.
Yeah, but the good thing is the Lord brought me through all this and made me real strong. Now, Scott did start to bicep cuts, but he bailed out of fear, because that's what they do. They keep the kids in fear.
And we kind of both know what Scott is like today.
Very messed up.
Very messed up. On last time I was aware of it, about 10 years ago, he was heavily drugged up all the time with cocaine and more or less a psychopath. I mean, one minute he could be a nice guy, the next minute he's like an animal.
Yeah, it's very unpredictable their behavior becomes. And Scott is, I've been with him when he's okay one minute, and then the next minute, oh my gosh, Dr. Jekyll and Hyde. And we had to stop being friends at that point. And at the time, I was 14, then we kind of separated. But he seems to keep bouncing back every 10 years and contacts me.
Okay, now, I put this affidavit up 2 days ago of yours on my internet site on the breaking news page on StuWeb.com. And as a result of that, I'm being monitored by the FBI's Division 5, which is part of their Snitch Patriot operation. They infiltrate and so forth. And I've identified, folks, for those of you listening, on the Bush Nazi Goon News, I call it, you will see a list of the Patriot spies, and you will see a list of the ones that work for Division 5. One of them happens to be Jed L. Gunderson, who was kicked out of the FBI in 1979, put to early retirement, for holding satanic ceremonies in his FBI offices, which I have federal agents who are willing to testify to that and have given me that information. He was put to early retirement because he was diagnosed later. They did the diagnosis of him and found out he was a paranoid schizophrenia. And so as a result, they put him to retirement. He was overlaid into the CIA, and he was doing a lot of guns and drugs, the Capison with Michael Reconosciuto in his meth lab and different ones. And he was the one, of course, you can look at my site, and you can see the actual physical document, government internal memorandum, pertaining to the Inslaw software, pertaining to Gunderson selling Stinger missiles to terrorist Bin Laden, and also about them selling a neutron bomb and other activity of Gunderson. Now, Gunderson portrays to be a patriot to infiltrate people. I've been infiltrated myself by many other people who tried to send a SWAT team in to kill me. And as a matter of fact, that's what Jeremy Floyd quit over with Genesis Radio over, because Barbara Hartwell, the CIA agent, former CIA agent, was giving a background on Gunderson and how he was involved with Brownstone, blackmail congressmen and senators with children. Now, Anthony, I put this affidavit up 2 days ago, or yesterday. Who called you?
Oh, Ted.
Ted Gunderson.
Yeah.
And what did he say to you?
He said that he wasn't married to my stepmother, and I asked him about all the garbage.
He wasn't married to who? Your stepmother, correct?
Diana, yeah.
Diana Riley.
LeVay. Well, she still uses LeVay.
Okay.
But he denies it, and I know they were married. I was here.
You were at the wedding when they got married?
Yeah, I was here.
Okay, now, for those listening, I'll put up soon on the website a copy of the filing that Ted Gunderson did in Las Vegas Family Court Northeast Las Vegas in the year 2000. I think it was filed 1999 or 2000. And he asked for an annulment, and they granted him an annulment about 6 months later, I believe it was.
Yes.
Carl